Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life into manhood, so no topics are off limits. I'm one of your hosts, D-John.
I'm your other host, Jay Black.
Jay Black, how you feeling?
I'm good. It's a crazy day. It's a crazy day.
Say more.
Yeah, because you...
Say more.
Listen, I want to thank you publicly, man, for your assistance you provided this morning for a family emergency we had going on, man.
We won't even go in there.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
For
good
sure.
Look, good
for
look.
For sure, that's family.
But
family in real life, to be
real,
clear.
Real life. Like real life.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm in a bind, I know for a fact, if I call you, we good.
Pick it up.
Yeah. But other than that, man, we pushing. This is going to be a hot one today.
Yeah.
But before we do all that, how you doing, brother?
I am bald, apparently. Bald man.
With glasses.
Yeah, bald man.
Yeah, bald man with glasses.
One of the, I don't know if he was a YN or YB. His energy was giving YE. I don't like calling him that. His energy was definitely giving YE. He was trying to antagonize me in the comments. So what are you saying, bald man? So, okay.
Easy. Easy, big
fella. I don't mind it because if the inference is that I'm bald, but it don't look crazy. The buzz cut is what it is. I just didn't have time to do it today. So you didn't affect me by saying that. No, it was fun times, man.
Yeah.
Fun times. I love the way we curate conversations on this platform. And sometimes the algorithm lets it go.
Yeah.
Algorithm let
it
one go.
Indeed.
Algorithm let one fly.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it, sometimes I gotta read them in like phases.
Yeah.
Give me about 10 minutes of it, then I gotta step away. About 10 minutes of it, I'll step away.
Same.
Because after about 10 minutes, I start acting as if they're talking to me or to you. People are talking from their pain points.
Correct.
So that's the thing I try to keep in mind. But anything polarizing is good.
It is. It is. And top of the hour, like, share, and subscribe.
All of that.
And don't forget 22 life prompts.
Yeah,
what we got?
20. 20.
20. Two, really. I say two. Y'all might don't have the other two.
That was the draft verse. This on 20 life prompts to facilitate effective parenting. Thank you again for the purchases. Again, if you are a member, comment and say, send my book, boy. The first three that do that on this episode will get a free book courtesy of my sister, CJ.
Thank you. That's it, man. Don't put this. Come on,
season,
don't put the seasoning on it.
Yeah, my wife's book is running across the screen. The book that we had is that I had handy. Somebody picked that up the other day, and I'm not going upstairs to the vault.
Yeah.
To the storage to get all the rest of
them. Yeah,
but yeah, man, it's thank you, IG.
I appreciate.
Finally,
it.
I mean, thank you. I say that.
Yeah,
they let it go, and it's interesting to see how people feel about a thing that in discussion. Was an important thing, but I didn't realize it was an end of the world thing. Even me saying I'm a down that hill,
right?
I'm not. The comments range from "Nah, leave her," like, bro,
your wife,
bro. Have you ever been involved in anything? Not let alone a relationship with a woman or whatever your choice is.
A gym membership.
Do you have that energy with whatever you're doing?
No.
This means all of that. This means all of that. I bet you won't be late to work. What are we talking about?
How we get there? Without contact?
A couple of them, I can keep stepping over you, but I know you ain't going to say it. I had to let a couple of them know So what happens when you actually are the employer? Because that didn't have the effect that you thought it was going to have, talking about, I bet you ain't late for, bro, what is we talking about?
The craziest thing is the assumption, the level of assumption.
Yeah.
To say, I bet you're probably not going to even be successful in life.
Right.
You or your wife, because she late.
I'm like, you're weak. You're weak in your house. Ooh. Because there's an issue to work through?
Yeah. Spineless. She's spineless. I was like, yeah, run that.
Another interesting point that somebody brought up that I didn't even think of, but I can vouch for it, is the concept of being on time, even though I still vouch for it. And for me, it's really a respect, two things.
Yeah.
From some of the comments, I couldn't tell if it was a respect thing or a reputation thing. Because you are known as this and you want everybody to know you as you standing on that. And I get it.
Right.
My thing was, it's a respect for, I have communicated that I need this. Can you meet me here? So whether it was time management or anything else,
right,
that's the core of it for me. But in other cultures, somebody brought it up, said, this is such a U.S. thing. And that's true. I've lived and worked abroad with my family. I've lived out on the economy. So I've lived on a military base abroad as well. But in the economy, it was a light bulb moment for me, because the final straw for us leaving Dubai,
mm-hmm,
I was tired of inshallah. Not as a disrespectful tone,
right,
but every appointment time, 3 o'clock, inshallah. That means at some point in the day, they're going to come.
Yeah.
And only typically the American expats are over there frustrated. I try to go to work and tell a story about it with my coworkers. They're like, yeah, that's kind of normal.
Right.
And here is me thinking that my frustration is going to change Dubai or the UAE, the Middle East, mm-hmm, in general.
Will not.
So while it's important, and I don't want to harp on it too much,
yeah,
but while it's important, context matters.
It does.
Context matters. So,
always.
You know, if you on time, you punctual, stand on it. I appreciate it. But throwing a relationship away, or being that example, being all of a thing, come on.
Which brings up a very important topic. And I would like for this episode to discuss a mindset.
Okay.
Let's have a mindset discussion.
Okay.
Dear son, I know you can't judge a book by its cover, but what do you have on your cover?
Because you certainly are being judged by it.
Please.
Certainly are being judged by it.
The biggest lie that people live by is walking around thinking that people aren't judges.
Yeah.
Everybody says, oh, I don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Human nature, you're going to see something and you're automatically going to, it's going to strike you a certain way. Whether you speak on it, whether you acknowledge it,
yeah,
whether you choose to act like it's a real thing or not, it happens.
Yeah.
What would you do to prepare your family, your sons, your daughters for the double standard of don't live for the crowd?
Yeah.
But but also keep in mind to be mindful of the crowd.
But be mindful of the crowd.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very timely. I'm gonna start using my is that an adjective? Yeah. My adjective is adjective. Today, this week was been on my mind, taking my son to school. That's the theme. That's the thread.
Yeah.
Because I take him to school Monday through Thursday to trade school. And I was thinking about his experiences recently with interviews. So he's in school. He's also trying to find a job because he got to get that bread, as he says.
Yes.
I got to get that bread.
Get that bread, son. Let's go.
He sets up the interviews. He's ambitious about that. But when I take him to the interview and he comes downstairs, I'm like, this is a presentation?
Right.
And I'm kind of letting him play out to see how he adjusts.
Yeah.
Right? Having been a hiring manager, I have a perspective of what was acceptable for me, like how I judge.
Yes.
Right? If you actually got to the point for an in-person interview, how you present yourself, getting to the relative top of the ladder in my organization, how I presented myself matters. Mm-hmm. I like my children to form their own identity and express themselves.
Yeah.
And I've been dancing with the line of conformity.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
Because I'm not in a traditional workspace anymore. But I can't throw away all of the information that I got maturing, progressing, and being in that corporate space. So I understand what it is.
Yeah.
So part of me is like, cut the dreads off. But I don't want him to, I guess where I'm going, already called me all types of suckers. You don't need your family.
Correct. Whatever.
I want him to be able to understand the challenges that perception presents, whether it's his fault or not. Now, yes, he has control of it. You could dress a different way. You can cut your hair. You can conform. And there are places that force that.
Right.
Some industries you have to do. You go in the military, you can't be whatever you want to be.
Right.
In terms of presentation. So I'm glad we're talking about this because I'm really trying to work on my timing of, okay, son, like, what do you think has been part of the roadblock? Because he went to the interview one time at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I dropped him off. I promise you, I went and got gas and right up the road.
Yeah.
He got gas at the adjacent parking lot. By the time I got gas, he's standing outside. So I let him get in the car, and I was like, "Well, he's gonna say something." So he didn't say something on the way to work, on the way to take him to school. I said, "Hey, so
what's the word?
Any feedback interview?"
Right.
Oh, she said they were looking for people with more experience. I said, "Son, what did the interview person look like?" And she was an older white lady. You know, middle age, probably in her late 20s.
Right. Right. Middle age is late 20s, right?
Okay. Middle age, late 20s, number one.
Yeah, you big dog.
And I'm like, son, McDonald's is actually the entry wrong. There's no need for experience.
No. OJT.
There's no need for actually. He wasn't in me for like a manager or anything like that. I'm like, so that was a data point, and right now where I'm at is how to finish that conversation.
Correct.
With him. Like, all right, let's evaluate how your interviews have gone. What do you think the common denominator is in this thing? And if you're going to choose to not conform, what is your plan to get this bread?
Correct.
Because they both can happen. One is a safer route. One may be a more lucrative route, and also, conforming doesn't guarantee any longevity, especially now.
It does not.
Yeah.
The biggest thing or standout in that display is common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's underestimated. I think people just glaze over like five things are going wrong or not in my favor.
Yeah.
In five different situations that aren't directly tied to each other.
Right.
And it's not, I don't get the favorable outcome that I'm seeking in each of those. The only consistency in that is I'm the one engaging in all five of those scenarios. Back to, not to beat a dead horse, but back to the comments of the last clip that we just were discussing about. People saw 30 seconds of a minute long clip and they formed a lifelong opinion, came up with a solution, resolution. You name it. They had resolve. They had, I would not dare. I wouldn't. You're not talking to me. The biggest thing that stood out to me was the boldness of single people talking to married people about how to successfully be married.
Right.
People that have no background or experience based on interaction, because I don't want to make the same mistake and judge based on a 30-second clip or a one comment that you threw out, but because you're constantly engaging with other people that are also questioning your stance, for you to be bold enough to stand on a principle that you do not possess, you have no experience with, you have no background.
It's never been tested.
It's never even been tested. You're strictly theory. You're walking around with the, I just know for a fact in my head and heart of hearts, if this ever happened to me, this is exactly what I'll do. How many times have you implemented that thing? Not once.
Yeah.
Haven't had to. Nobody play with me like that and even tried me. Nah. If that's what your saving grace
cool.
is, cool. Run that. But it's hard for your, for a level of by definition, a level of ignorance
yeah.
is to speak as though you're an expert of a thing that you've never laid hands on.
On all of a thing.
All.
Yeah.
All.
This excerpt means all of you is this.
Correct.
And one of the common, of course, just wake up early, easy. Like, y'all are missing the actual value of what's, there was some valuable comments in the comments.
Yeah.
There's like the actual
yeah.
value of the thought process and like the dynamics of relationship. Whatever you stand on, stand on.
Yes.
But here's one thing that we've never discussed, and I might be prejudging you. I might be.
Come on.
I might be.
Pop it.
The comment that was recurring on both platforms, on IG and TikTok.
Yeah.
How you do anything is how you do everything. And I've heard that, and sometimes it's glazed over, and I've been, it's like motivational speaker Jim 101.
Yeah.
How you do anything is how you do everything. And I started thinking like, that is very motivational. And that's a great mantra to always be of an excellent stature.
Right.
Then I started thinking about, I'm like, man, I know some people that are committed to their health in terms of working out.
Yes.
4 to 6 days a week for the last 10 years.
Yes.
They've been working out.
Yep.
Ask them about their diet. Terrible. Not addressing it at all. And their rationale is, well, that's why I work out so much.
To combat, to counter.
Right. So is how you do anything really how you do everything?
And it can't be.
And maybe I'm missing it.
It can't.
I'm sure it's a great locker room speech, great in the military, great in different industry, great in the house. It sounds really good.
Nope. And I'm gonna tell you why that does not work. Because I have a cousin, country boy colloquialisms.
Yeah.
He has a slogan. I'm trying to kill a gnat with a sledgehammer. By definition, that's overkill. So when you're jumping up and down, grabbing your crotch and spitting, talking about this is how you address your wife and your children about an issue, if you're stuck on presenting yourself as a tyrant,
yeah,
sure,
yeah.
sure. You can absolutely, in your mind, you have the authority to walk in the front door of your home and beat your chest and be an absolute ogre.
Yeah.
An ogre. You can be a tyrant. You can tell them you better do this or else. Sure. Will it get done? Certainly. Perhaps. Certainly. But for you to think that that's the approach that's necessary for people that you care about, love, and cherish.
Yeah.
At what cost? That's the part that kept, you know, that's always left out of scenarios.
Yeah.
At what cost? Will that get the desired result? One of them. But the byproduct of that desired result, I'm pretty certain if you care about these people the way you say you do, you're not going to like that at all.
Here's the thing. That's a dictatorship approach, and dictatorships have results.
Certainly.
I get it. Again, stand on it. That's you. That's not in what I took exception to is when people saying a tying that to all of leadership.
All of it.
That's not leadership. And I don't know that these people have actually led anything. Maybe they led a house or maybe they've led outside. I don't know.
Yes.
When I became a better leader in any capacity is when I realized that my goal is to get the maximum benefit from the available resources.
Yes.
And this is more in a corporate setting. You can be a boss that says, do this, do this, do this, do this. I get it. Some industries, I worked shift work before, so I understand when the whistle blows at 7, you start working. When the whistle blows at 12, you go to lunch. When it blows at 12:30, you start working. When it blows at 3:30, you go home. I signed up for that.
Right.
It gets things done because there are multiple shifts coming. Like, it has to be that way. As I progressed into corporate, it shifted from time Nazis to deliverable Nazis. How do you manage it? And, you know, as I became more senior, this is how it is. And I know it's not this at an entry level. How you manage your schedule to a degree.
Yes.
Because you being in the seat doesn't mean productivity. I could definitely run circles around people in 3 hours and what they did in eight. In any field I've ever, except for ship construction, that's difficult.
Yeah.
Because you can see when somebody's not working. But my point is to actually understand the context. Yes, the principle that you're talking about is important. Don't compromise the principle. Also understand what the net benefit and what your outcome, your desired outcome is.
Please.
Is your desired outcome to have a reputation that you're this and you stand on it? Fantastic. Maybe it makes your epitaph. Maybe they read it in your obituary, you know, when you going on to see them.
Right.
Fantastic. All of me isn't a product of a situation that is this right now that's being worked on.
Correct.
That's being worked
Correct.
On.
Correct.
And nothing meaningful really changes overnight.
No.
Outside of your control. Like you, I don't know, somebody will take exception to that too. Anyway, but getting your family to where you want to be as a leader doesn't happen always just because you said a thing is this way.
And please never, never misunderstand that structure is not automatically synonymous with cookie cutter.
For sure.
You can have a structure that adapts to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, again, if you truly go into a scenario or situation with a goal,
yeah,
an objective, then if you've ever participated in any project or any interaction or any relationship that was semi-successful, thrived,
yeah,
started at point A and at least made it to point B, there was some adaptation.
Yeah.
There was communication. There were things that you absolutely thought our initial plan was this. We're going in and it's going to look like this.
Yeah.
And if you show up to that project and things go awry, if you're steadfast going to say, hey, plan A is plan A, there is no other plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat this square into this hole until it gets in there with this sledgehammer, if you will, because I did not account for, I said it's going to be this way.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's not the approach. Perhaps there needs to be more communication. Okay, we came and we thought, based on the information we thought we had, we received, perhaps it's outdated. It's antiquated now. You're no longer able to come here and say, hey, the blueprints we received, it said that these dimensions are 30 by 50. Well, the city came in.
Yeah.
They did an assessment and we were into the easement. You can't be at 50. You have to stop at 45. You have to give that 5-foot easement because that's by law, your bed, your people, whoever drew up the initial plan.
But this my blueprint though.
Hey.
City.
Take your blueprint somewhere else. It don't fit here.
Yeah.
So because of that thing, the tyrant approach to every aspect of life, perhaps any, there are people that will say tyrant works in no situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's your opinion. There are people that believe in tyranny that says it works in some. I'm not here to debate that.
Yeah.
But what I am here to debate is there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Yeah.
And if you think that you can approach and have the audacity to shun a thinking person that actually comes up with perhaps a different approach.
Yeah.
But they're getting the desired result and productivity out of the situation. The relationship is thriving. You actually are getting the message across. It's just, if my end goal is to make sure that eventually, hey, I understand the importance of time.
Yeah.
I understand the importance of a schedule. I understand the importance of respecting someone else's time and their demands on what I have going on. It's not going to happen in 2 days.
Yeah.
But if I'm yelling at you and screaming at you and putting my hands on you, you're more focused on just trying to get from in front of me. Like, I'm going to yeah, you to death.
Yeah.
But then when I'm out on my own, guess what I'm going to rebel against perhaps? You don't know that.
Yeah.
So be mindful of the tone or the place that your message is being received in. Because if your message is being received in, just stop talking to me. Do you think it's really going to stick?
There were a couple of those children that were products of that.
Yes.
That made comments about how it impacted them in life.
Yes.
Some said it was great. Some said it wasn't so great. Again, everybody is not this. Everybody can't be managed the same way.
Right.
In your house, in my house, because some houses I haven't been in. In my house, everybody can't be managed the same way. Even having five children, number one and number three don't act the same.
Yes.
So by virtue of having one, a second, and then a number three means I'm an expert on number three? No. It means I have data points and information that I can try. And if things don't get the results with that individual, you make adjustments. That's it. And though I was going at you on the word compromise, those are the adjustments that are necessary to get the desired result, which should be a thriving family or a thriving organization or a thriving project, whatever it is. In the corporate space, if you have a plan that you think is great and you sold the senior executive leadership on it.
Yes.
And you take that plan into action and your plan doesn't work based on the resources, based on adaptation, cooperation, whatever it is, you could be so right in your plan. You know what you cannot do is go back to the executives and tell them that your plan was right, but the people ain't do it.
They don't want to hear that.
They're like, so what adjustments did you make? No, you guys applauded my plan when I told you I was going to do this.
That was it.
They after the results. You got to be after the results.
Bottom line.
So, you know, I mean, it's cool. It be like, I'm a stickler for some things.
Yeah.
But to broad stroke paint my severing ties, severing relationships because a thing. Now, there are some things that are deal breakers.
Certainly. Certainly.
And this was a deal breaker for many.
Certainly.
So I'm super cool with that. The problem with me is I always think that there's a chance in a conversation.
You know why? Because the opposite is called throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
This bathwater is no good. It's dirty. You take the whole
container. The baby been in it.
Baby still in it.
Can make another baby.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
And toss it. There's a study out. And it's a basic concept if you really think about it, but it was mind blowing to me, once I actually heard it and then started to let it resonate. A psychologist said that if a set of parents, same set of parents, same mom, same dad, if you have three children, not twins, not duplicates, three children at three different stages of your life, because obviously even if you back to back them,
some time.
You're different.
Yeah.
Right. There's time between the two. No two children would have the same parent. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because of the expectation that you would have with what you think childbirth is or parenting is with this first child versus the next, wherever you are in life financially, your mental stability should change throughout the years, perhaps a year, but certainly. If there's a 3-year gap between three children, that's three different people. That's three different versions of yourself. Should be. I know for a fact myself, I haven't been the same person over a 3-year span as they pass by. So now the three different personalities, the three different individuals and what they cater to, what they need in life, their demands, their wants, their interests. You're going to have 2-3 children, 4 children, 5 from the same set of parents.
Keisha.
And no two like the same food. No two have the same allergies. No two have the same body type or size or blood type even.
Yeah.
It's just that specific. So for you to go in and assume that this is the way I roll, and if you come into my camp, this is the way that you're going to receive, my leadership.
Yeah. You got to be always ingesting data.
Yes.
And even if you don't like the data, doesn't mean that the data isn't valid.
Right. Right.
And if you're making decisions absent data, that's a very dangerous thing to do,
right.
Which is what social media is for. You make it's people come to get off. I get it. I often hope more for the conversations because I know the spirit in which we had the conversation is, number one, we're not suggesting that we're experts at anything.
No, sir. No.
The closest thing that I'm an expert to is what goes on in this house. And that means I just have all of the data in this house.
That's right.
And nobody else does except for the people in this house. And then all of us have a different interpretation of the data that is being demonstrated in this house.
The same data.
Yeah. So to keep it on track with my son is, or what I, you know, dear, and the dear son theme.
Yeah.
Which every man is a son. If I hadn't said that in 40 episodes,
yeah.
That's kind of the thing. So it's the journey of manhood, but it's watching as we're watching our sons go out into the world and have to make these decisions and fend for themselves, being able to take in data and process it up against or through their lens, and also knowing when somebody else's perspective is valuable. Because there is some value in sons stand on this. This is even if it's to the extent of this is what this family represents, I think they're core values that should be that way. But to limit my son to the extent of my growth,
yeah,
I think that's dangerous to suggest that. You can never even consider the perspective that's different from yours. Like I value, and again, I value the comments because if everybody agreed, like if we agreed with each other,
wouldn't work.
That this we would have got to episode 52 and you came on to 47.
Yeah. High five.
I'd be like, hey, bro, so you want to do your own show? Yeah, I produce it, but like us sitting here and saying the same thing. So I think there's value in it. I don't want my son to slip into the dismissive nature of what a lot of society has become. Because I don't think like you, you're stupid.
Right. Immediately.
And God forbid you got grammar errors when you're trying to come at me.
With your good, loud, smart self.
I mean, you got grammatical errors trying to tell me what they teach in school about and how foolish a perspective is like.
The irony of
I want him to be rooted in a thing, have his perspective tied to tangible, not necessarily tangible, but values that he can readily explain
and be able to stand on it.
Yeah.
You know, like I can make a case for my belief.
Right.
There's a reason I believe in this other than somebody said. I read somewhere.
Yeah. Or the group feels like most people feel like this. So let me jump over here because I want to be in the crowd that's yelling versus receiving.
Being yelled at.
Right. And that's a comfort thing. That's a growth thing. So I can't knock anybody for being where they are in life and dealing with what they dealt with in life. Like the thing that doesn't bother me may have had a detrimental impact or may have had some kind of psychological impact to somebody growing up.
Yeah.
So I can't dismiss it.
No.
That's what I want with son. You don't have to agree with everybody's opinion. There is a point where you can not necessarily write somebody off in terms of wishing bad for them, but they've demonstrated enough to know that there's no value in being around them.
And it does not apply to me.
Yeah.
That which you feel does not apply to me.
Yeah.
I'm not under your control.
Yeah.
Feel free to go run a field, man. It just does not apply to me.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Bishop recently about they're in a phase right now of you can't tell them anything about something that they've heard already.
My friend said.
No. Oh, meaning like if they're already aware of what a word means or what a thought is supposed to mean. If you start to explain it to them, I know. Oh, easy. So the importance of, yes, initially you may feel like this, what you're about to say, I already know that. I have a firm grasp on that concept. I explain the importance to them of, hear them out anyway.
Right.
You don't know what extra little tidbit they may add to it. It may help you, even if you don't agree with it. Sometimes the disagreement to a thought helps you further build your foundation or dig even deeper. This really why I stand on this, that I'm so against how you feel what that means to you. And I'm absolutely in the other direction. So I told him, just hear him out.
Yeah.
If you walk away with nothing, no harm, no foul. But if you've missed out on some valuable information in that moment, you can't put a price on that. That's priceless. Yeah. It could have enhanced your thought process and you just cut them off because you're so quick to be ready to know everything. Ease up.
What's the die on that hill value for you? And I can say for me, lying to yourself. Lying to yourself that there's no end to the destruction that can cause for you specifically, and then the collateral damage to everybody around you. That's definitely a hill for certain that I would die on, and that I would want my son to not waver from.
To not repeat that, 1,000%, but I dare not say the exact same thing. Me personally is, I say at what cost a lot.
Yeah.
But for me, to be able to recognize that a person has a price, your infatuation with money trumps all. I can't stand it. I can't deal with it. I have conversations with my children as often as possible so that they don't have a reverence for money.
Yeah.
Don't cherish money and wealth and riches and attention. That whole, I gotta get this money. I gotta get this money. And before you know it, a person like that is for sale. So now, because you cherish money so much, there's a dollar sign.
Yeah.
And you can't lie to me and tell me there's not. If you cherish money, riches, and wealth, you'll turn your back on your closest person on planet Earth for the right dollar amount. And if you view money as the tool that it is and not the riches or the wealth that you've been trained or taught that it was or is, it'll be easy for you to say, there's no amount of money that'll make me disown or disrespect or turn my back on this principle.
So you make sure I heard you right. You said that people have a price, or people don't put a price on.
Don't be the person that has a price.
Gotcha.
You cherish money so much that
it equates
no matter what.
Everything has,
no matter what the topic is, there's a price.
Yeah.
There are people that say, hey, there's a lot of things in life, my business, my earthly possessions, my assets, they're for sale. It's not for sale, but it can go.
Yeah.
But when you start to talk about your soul, your integrity, if your integrity has a price, I can't deal with that. I can't trust that.
I think that's part of the epidemic of us killing us at an alarming rate.
Yeah.
Not valuing life properly and putting a price on somebody else's life.
Yes.
We had an interesting gathering on Sunday.
Yes.
At your house.
Yes.
That challenged groupthink. Challenged what we personally thought about each other. Challenged, can you really evaluate a situation that you've never been close to, let alone been in? And I'm trying to be careful of how to present it and, you know, jump in and push and pull what we need to. But
yes,
it had to do with the assumption of guilt versus the proof of guilt.
That's perfect.
I still have a very strong stance on the two.
Yes.
But in terms of how the legal system works and how it is not tipped in our favor,
yes,
in most cases, what compromises would you make when your loved one is facing a penalty that they've earned? What becomes your feeling and your position on the right thing in those instances?
That's perfect.
I'm trying to skate.
No, no, listen, that's absolutely perfect. To frame it, I would call it legality versus morality.
Even better.
There's a legal obligation to move a certain way in life. If you're in this society, there's guidelines, rules, and boundaries,
right,
that are not supposed to be crossed. And so now, knowingly or unknowingly, because they say ignorance of the law does not justify you breaking said law.
I didn't know I was speeding, don't mean you won't speed.
Yeah. So because of that clause, that belief, that structure, it behooves you. It's your responsibility, is what they're basically telling you, to know thoroughly in this situation I'm about to partake or embark on, whatever the case may be. It is my responsibility to know where's the line.
Right.
There's a line, and I have to know legally where that line is to cover myself and all those involved. So now if I cross said line, now consequence comes with crossing said line. But the challenge becomes, how close are you as the person issuing the
consequence?
If it's a total stranger and you're not connected or you're not tied to this person in any shape, form, or fashion, now are you the right is right, wrong is wrong,
right,
black is black, white is white? But then when you start to look at circumstances, you start to look at age groups, demographics, you start to look at things that perhaps, even if you don't know who's involved, it reminds you of someone, yourself, or perhaps someone you're tied to. What if they made this same transgression? Is black black and white white? Am I going to treat my connected person to me the exact same as I would treat a total stranger? It's hard to say. More often than not, if people would be honest with themselves based on how society works, I don't know too many mothers that would turn their back on their children.
Right.
Right. So morality versus legality. They're going to choose morality. Morally, I'm probably supposed to be like, I have to follow the law. And my motherhood, if you will, and I don't want to speak for women, my fatherhood, in the right situation, scratch that part. My fatherhood is, my charge is to protect my son.
Right.
Right. So they say, oh, you never lie, you never cheat, you never steal. Yep. Ideally, you do not. But if a situation happens, a person that could too quickly respond to, I'm doing the right thing. I'm turning them in.
Standing on this.
I'm standing on business. That's what this is. If you're going to be honest with yourself, you're at least going to explore, how did we get here?
Circumstantial.
In my opinion, you're going to go through the gambit of emotions of perhaps outrage, perhaps shock, perhaps I can't believe this. Is this, if they're tied to you, is this my fault?
It's a reflection of me.
This is a reflection of me. Did my leadership go awry? Did I not raise this person properly? But if you did do everything by the book, religion, emotion, structure, discipline. Some said you perhaps were too strict. Who knows? But if you did all of the things that the masses would say was your charge to do to make sure this came out to be an upstanding citizen, because that's what people fail to realize. A person that commits a crime or makes a mistake in life, if you get to listen to some of the guys, what happened and how they got there, oh man, whoa, that's actually an honest mistake.
Yeah.
A mistake nonetheless, though, that carries a heavy consequence. So now because it's a heavy consequence associated with this mistake, oh, you didn't know. We prefaced this conversation with ignorance of the law does not excuse you from the law. So now, where do you fall? I would love to hear what the Dudley Do-Rights and the perfect human beings of the world really think about the right scenario.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was the specific set of circumstances that were, let's start speaking so vague. I'm not going into details.
But yeah.
What happened was you could say a mock trial. It was a trial preparation conversation.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
So somebody preparing for a trial was presenting some scenarios to us to see how we would react.
Yes.
As if we were a jury to be selected or a selected jury to actually deliberate on a thing.
Correct.
And the scenarios that were presented went from,
Yes.
I mean, he was wrong, but the consequences that await them, and you can start to see the compromise in a person's humanity based on what they believed about a thing or understood about a situation through their lens.
Correct.
So while punctuality is a far cry from what we're talking about now,
yes,
the way that it was addressed was, if this, then all of this is fair game.
Yes.
Right. So if you move through life as a leader, only being rigid in everything, when you come to the point of being rigid didn't work and it landed, maybe not because of your actions, but the rebellion too. Oh man, you can't worry about it. We never assume the worst situation or the worst scenario until you're in it. And then it's beyond assumption. It's beyond repair.
Yes.
Like, where do you stand on that? And even though my position didn't really change, it was like a humbling standing on business for me, because I was really thinking through, man, what if that was my son? Do you start to massage the rules when, again, the consequences are pointed toward somebody that you're close to? In this particular instance, it involved a young guy and a young girl. I also have a young girl as a child.
Correct.
So there was no bias. I couldn't be biased in the situation.
Right.
The wrong thing was the wrong thing, but God darn, could I actually deal with my son experiencing those, wearing those, accepting those consequences?
Watch this. This ties back to a previous portion of this episode. There was a presentation of generic scenarios,
yeah,
just to kind of feel you out. If this and this, where do you stand? Oh, like you said, left. This and this, where do you stand? Right. This. Got all the way down to circumstantial, gray area-ish detail that was like, oh, that's just not fair. That's not fair. It's like, it's not about fair. The law states this, and the law, because it states this, mandates that. So because of A and B are tied together, you're looking for that gray area. Man, what about C right here, though? That's a gray area. And then, this will stand out to you, the pause of, okay, let me help you with that gray area then. Dun, dun, dun. Let me give you another scenario of another situation that you were like, oh, it goes back. And again, I'm being very vague. It goes back to judging a book by its cover, but be mindful of your cover, right? So now, because of judge a book by its cover, but be mindful of your cover. If you're presenting as a person who eats meat, but you're trying to stand in front of me now that you're in trouble for eating meat to try to convince me that you are a vegetarian, it's hard for me not to look at something showing me last week you had a burger. You understand? So because you had a burger.
Y'all don't understand how good of a, you can't, because we can't say, but.
You can't eat a burger last week and now tell me the gray area of this week is, but he just started this vegetarian thing and just didn't know that that was a burger. You know what I mean? Like he didn't know.
That's really good.
So now it's like, oh, you had me, but because you ate a burger last week, I don't want to hear this vegetarian talk this week.
You know what else happened for all of us that participated?
Yes.
We were in our minds asking questions to confirm what we thought our lens suggested before we knew the actual details of what these people look like.
Correct. Ooh. Correct. Correct.
Because history of what we've seen or assumed or have heard or have group thought said is pointing at this.
Yes. Yes.
So in reality, we walk around with these assumptions all day, every day, though we don't articulate them and would have no reason to articulate them until we were in that scenario. But it had me thinking like, man, book covers never lied to me, but nope. I don't necessarily want you to, you know, I got the right to change my cover. How you gonna hold me to the first edition? When I just remixed it.
The ink's still wet.
I just remixed it.
The ink's still wet. So it's hard for me to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard for me. You done took the, you old school and took the grocery bag, the paper bag and cut it and made you a book cover.
Yeah.
Makeshift.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it yet. I don't buy it yet. So.
I think this is a great panel discussion. Because I would love, it would have been cool if we could have had camera. It wouldn't have been right to have cameras in there.
Right.
But to have the dynamics that we had in that room, I think would be valuable. So I would like to invite some other perspectives on to discuss parenting through the gray.
You know what? Hold that thought. We'll talk.
That's what I was typing.
Yeah, hold that thought.
That's buddy, what I was typing. Yeah.
You on to something right there.
Yeah, parenting through the gray, man.
On a lighter note, you're not going to get out of here like that. You're not going to get out of
here. I'm in no rush. I know. I see what you, here's the lie. Here we go.
Football season here, guys. Football season is here. And I told y'all, all season.
What you don't want me to do is check the score right now.
I don't.
Because you're going to feel foolish.
No, I don't. You know the score?
Right.
Right now, as we're recording this, we'll tell it. As we're recording this right now, somebody's team.
America's team.
It's not America's team.
Are you in America? You going to say this ain't America because you don't like the name? Are you going to?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers is in. They're in America.
You going to call it something different because you don't like the name?
Somebody's a Cowboys fan and the Cowboys are playing tonight.
America.
Season opener.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing right now as we're recording this.
It's probably punishing.
You think y'all winning right now?
My internet is there.
Mine's not. Please let me check this as we're recording. Do not stop.
This concludes another episode of the Dead Sun Show. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe.
Oh.
And I control the edits. I control the edits, my boy. Parenting to the Gray is a community conversation coming to you soon by way of the Dead Sun Network.
Come on, star people.
We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.